You know, today is Easter, right? Yeah. So if you want to sit down, please feel free. Don't think you'll be distracting me. When the Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of God, died, foolish people foolishly thought that God was dead. But if God died, how come we are still alive? If God died, how come we are still here? How come there is still existence? Because if God had died, the death of God would have been not just the death of humanity, it would have been the death and the extinction of everything. If God died, there wouldn't have been any existence at all. Nothing would have existed. And so Easter tells us that Good Friday isn't actually the final word. Good Friday wasn't the final day. The paradox of today's feast or solemnity, the paradox of what we celebrate today, is that Jesus conquered death with his own death. Jesus brought reconciliation between heaven and earth. Jesus brought a marriage celebration between heaven and earth. Jesus healed the broken relationship, broken not by God, but by us through his death. Jesus turned the page of the past and open a new chapter, a new dawn, and a new era for us. Jesus reconciled us with God and with each other. This is the celebration that we are doing today. It is the beginning, the initiation of victory. I don't want to go into politics, but I remember during the election, our president used to say, "You will win and win and win, and you get tired of winning." Actually, Jesus was the one who brought the winning part for us. Jesus was the one who brought the winning series of winning, victory for us, humanity. With the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus did not only turn the page, but he handed victory over us. That henceforth, moving forward, the devil is not always going to win. We can win. With Jesus' death and resurrection, the Lord begins the era of winning for us. That even when the devil tempts us, we can still say no. You know, during the Lenten season, when we read the gospel of Jesus' temptation, I was preaching in my parish in St. Mary, your neighbors here. And I said to the people, there is one thing the devil has no power to do. The devil can never, never force you to do what you do not want to do. What he does is to make suggestion to you. He tries to lie to you. He tries to twist false and present it to look good. What the devil does is to lure you, say to you, you know, you are hungry. See, look at food. He can never, never, he doesn't have the power to do that. He can never force me or force you to do what you do not want to do. All he can do is to suggest, to entice you, to lure you, to lie to you, and to say to you, if you do this, all your problems will be over. But time and time and time and time again, Experience have shown that whenever we do what he asks us to do, we regret it. Whenever we do what he asks us to do, it comes back to haunt us. But Easter tells us that we have been given the baton to run the race, to fight to the finish. During the Mass, I saw someone who was standing over there with something written on his shirt, "Fight on." Yes, that's him over there. Fight on. That is what Jesus is saying to us today. We can fight and fight and win. His victory is actually our victory. His triumph is actually our triumph. And so when somebody does something wrong and you, something terrible, and the person said, "The devil made me to do it," that's another lie. It's not true. The devil will never make you do what you do not want to do. What he will do is to suggest. You can say to him, like Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." But brothers and sisters, on Good Friday, when it appears that Jesus, when Jesus was beaten, it appears that Jesus was finished. When Jesus was carrying his cross, it seemed it is finished for him. When Jesus fell 3 times and groaned and cried, it seemed he was finished. When they stripped him naked, spat on his face, gave him expired wine to drink, made fun of him, said to him, "Look at him, foolish man. You healed others, all right? Doctor, you heal others. Now heal yourself." When they were making fun of him, teasing him, poking him. If you have a dog in your house, if as friendly as that dog could be, when you poke him and poke him and poke him, at some point he's going to do... But when they poked Jesus and poked him and poked him and see whether he is going to fight back, Jesus was all there, grieving, groaning, and crying. And it appeared it was finished for him. When all his friends, disciples, all of them ran away from him, and even Peter, who was following from a distance, denied him 3 times, it appeared it was finished for him. And when Jesus finally cried on the cross, "It is finished," his enemy said, "Yes, we finished him. We have finished him." But brothers and sisters, Easter tells us that Jesus wasn't finished. When Jesus cried, "It was finished," or "It is finished," he wasn't saying, "My life is finished." He wasn't saying, "I have been finished." Jesus was simply saying, "The devil is finished." Jesus was saying, "I have accomplished the job. I have got the job done. I have done everything that my father, my daddy asked me to do. I've given you everything. My life has been poured out. I have preached the most beautiful message of all, that God is love and that God loves you. I have done the job. I have given you victory. Everything that you need to know to gain salvation, I have said it all. There is no more secret. My life has been emptied out. My blood has been poured out. I have done everything. All the secrets have been made known to you. I have shown you the path to everlasting life. I have shown you the way to everlasting life. And I have handed my life over to you. And so the job is done, sealed and signed. It is now yours." Jesus was not saying that my life is finished. Rather, that this is the beginning of a new day. But of course, like the Israelites, we oftentimes turn our back against God. If you go to many Catholic churches today, I come from St. Mary, I already told you, last year I celebrated two of the masses over there. And those of you who've been to St. Mary, you know the church is kind of longer and bigger than this. It was packed. I had the 10:30 mass here. It was packed. We had more people here the mass before this time than we have now. More people will come to mass on Easter Sunday and on Christmas. There are people who will come to mass only Christmas, Easter, or when there is a death in the family, funeral mass, or when someone is wedding in the family, or when a kid in the family is receiving first Holy Communion, or being baptized, or maybe having confirmation. Those are the time you will see them in church. If you are one of those here, the Lord is saying to you and I, look at what I have done for you. Is this how or what you want to do with the beautiful and painful sacrifice I paid? Is this how you want to celebrate the agonizing experience that I went through on your behalf? Brothers and sisters, if I call you my friend, your best friend, but I only call you on the phone or come to visit you, and you just live very close to me, the only time I come to your house, I call you on the phone, I check on you twice a year, I am a bad friend. I'm not a good friend. If Jesus is your friend, if you consider him a friend, if Jesus is your Lord and your master, and the only time you come to pay visit to him, the only time you want to do anything associated with him is twice a year. Brothers and sisters, it's not enough. It's not. And that's what the devil wants to do. The devil is only interested in one thing. One thing and one thing alone. To deny you and I the opportunity to live in a place that he lost. That's all. That's all. He knows the beauty of heaven. He knows the magnificence of heaven. He knows the joy of heaven. He knows what he lost. And all he does is to make sure that you and I do not have the opportunity to ever experience it. And he oftentimes said to you, oh yeah, that's okay. You know, you go to mass once a year. You're a good man. You're a good person. I hear this all the time. People come to confession and they say, Father, I'm a good man. I'm a good person. And I'm sitting there wondering, then why are you here? Why are you here? Some we spend my time and spend the time of people waiting to come in, giving a long litany of the good they do. At some point I say, okay, you must have done something wrong. That's why you came. Or did you come to give me a long list of all you've done good? And the devil is convincing, I'm a good person. You are very, very good. You're doing good. You're doing a lot. You know, it's okay to go to mass once a year or twice a year. That's fine. If you have heard that message before, either from somebody or it has been projected into your mind, because when you are alone, there are three voices speaking to you. The voice of God, the voice of your mind, and the voice of the evil one. One of them will be talking to you. Whenever there is a decision to make, three of these voices are the voices you're going to hear. The voice of your mind, the voice of God, and the voice of the enemy. And the voice of the enemy is oftentimes trying to make sure that he agrees with your mind, trying to make you agree with him that it's okay to go to mass once a year or twice a year. But brothers and sisters, I stand here before you not only as a priest, but as your brother in faith to say to you, it's not enough. I am not one of those priests that will preach to make you comfortable. I believe that any gospel, any message that does not make the people of God uncomfortable is not the message of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus first preached, people were not comfortable, they were upset with him. And my job, because I do not want to stand before the judgment seat of God and say to him that I didn't say what he asked me to say. Or I was trying not to upset people. To be honest with you, this is my 10th year of being a priest, and at every given time, I have made people upset. And that's fine. I know some of us came here today because on this day, we renew our baptismal promises. Do you believe in God? I do. Do you believe in Jesus, the Son of God? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do. Do you believe in the church? I do. And at the end of the day, the next time you see them is probably Christmas or next year. To those who we make that promise here, and they have no intention of keeping it, when I stand forward to make that, to be initiate that promise, I will urge you to shut up. When I say, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? If you do not mean it, don't say anything. But if you say, yes, I do, mean it, brothers and sisters. Live by it. We have been given the grace. St. Paul tells us that, you know, but with his grace, we can do all things. Through Christ, we can do and accomplish all things. Today, we celebrate the beginning of a new dawn and a new era. And so, brothers and sisters, let us celebrate Jesus who is risen in our hearts. Let Jesus rise up in our heart, in our minds, in our eyes, in our faculties, in every part of our body. Let Jesus rise up in our relationships, in our marriages, in our jobs, in our place where we work, no matter where we are. Let us live the life of the risen Jesus. Let us allow the power of the resurrection to touch our life from inside out and become a disciple. A disciple is somebody who walks in the footstep of the master. If the master is going east, the disciple follows him. If the master heads north, the disciple follows him. If the master heads south, the disciple follows him. A disciple follows the master wherever he leads him or her. And so today we have come to celebrate our victory. But that victory is not going to last long if all we do is just come here, go through the emotions, and I go home and keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. I have taken my time and I have reflected over God's commands. I have looked at what Jesus asked us to do. And brothers and sisters, there is absolutely nothing, there is nowhere Jesus asks us to do what is harmful to us. If you look at it carefully, you will even understand that everything that the Lord is asking us to do is for our good. It is good for us. It is good to love. It is good to forgive. It is good to be merciful. But there's something else I would want us to ignore before I want us to bear in mind before we leave. The central message of Easter is this, because Easter has a message. The message of Easter is that injustice, wickedness, and hate will never win. I'm going to say that again. The final message of Easter is that injustice, hatred, and wickedness will never win. When Jesus was going through all that, it appears that he was losing the fight. And those who killed him were all there cheering And when Jesus bowed down and said, "It is finished," they thought they have won. But after 3 days, Jesus resurrected gloriously and preached with his own life that injustice will never win the fight at the end of the day, that hatred or hate will never win, and that wickedness will never win. What happened to Jesus is the height of injustice. What happened to Jesus is the height of wickedness. What happened to Jesus is the height of hate. An innocent man that the scripture said that went about doing good experienced the greatest injustice of all. But Jesus told us through his resurrection that none of this is going to win. At the end of the day, love will always conquer hatred. Love will always win. And those who walk with God will always have the final say. And so, brothers and sisters, if you are one of those Catholics who only come to Mass once in a while, I keep going back there because at the end of this Mass, I don't know when next we're going to see you. But I want you to take this message home. By the way, we are happy that you are here. But I want you to go home with a message. Yes. Amen. We are happy that you are here. Glory be to God that you remember this day. But brothers and sisters, I also want you to take this message home. What is God expecting from me? Oftentimes people ask me this. What is God expecting from me? One word. Relationship. That's all. God wants relationship with us in private and in public. He wants relationship with us in the church. He wants relationship with us at home. He wants relationship with us in our places of work. He wants relationship with us when you are driving. He wants relationship with us when we are flying. He wants relationship with us when you are exercising. He wants relationship with us when you are in the restaurant eating. He wants relationship with us when you are shopping. He wants relationship with us even when you are fighting against somebody that hates you. God wants relationship with us at every given time. That's all. Relationship. Relationship in the morning, relationship in the mid-morning, relationship in the noon, relationship in the night, relationship every second, every split second, every day, every week, every month, every year, with all our lives. That is all that God wants from you. That is all that God wants from me. Relationship. And allow that relationship to begin. Actually, what Jesus came to do is to initiate that relationship. Jesus came to open the door so that that relationship can be possible. Jesus came to begin that relationship, to bring us closer to God so that we can begin to have a relationship with God. A relationship that is vibrant. A relationship that is ongoing. A relationship that is alive and active. A relationship that is enduring. A relationship that gives glory to God. A relationship that turns you and I into a giant Bible so that everyone can read. A relationship that turns us into a prayer. A relationship that turns us into praise and glory to God. So that we become a reflection of God's glory. That whenever people encounter us, they will encounter not only us, but they will encounter the God that walks through us. So that when somebody encounters you, the person can say to you, "You are living the life of the risen Lord." Brothers and sisters, this is the only thing God is expecting from you and I. A relationship that is ongoing. Not only today and tomorrow you are out of it. I always said to my parishioners in St. Mary, when it comes to relationship with God, there is no vacation. There is no retirement. There is no leave. There is no rest. There is no taking a nap. There is no going to do your own thing. In fact, you live your life, no matter what you do, no matter what your job is, you do everything you do in life with relationship with God as a focus. That is all that God expects from us. And that is what Jesus accomplished for us. So that we can have a relationship with God that will begin from now and end up in heaven. And so, for those of us who come to Mass, I'm sorry I keep talking about this. You know, the same way you have to say something, I'm taking this leaf from politicians. A politician will say one thing over and over and over again with the hope that it's going to stick. And so even when they lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie, somehow we begin to believe the lie as the truth. But I'm not lying to you. And so if you come here today and you maybe you've been asking yourself, what is it that God wants from me? If you are a nurse in the hospital, God wants a relationship with you even as you minister to your patient. You are a doctor, God wants relationship with you as you attend to the sick people. You are a teacher, God wants relationship with you as you teach your students. You are a parent, God wants relationship with you as you take care of your family. If you are a police officer, God wants relationship with you as you protect us. You're a military officer, God wants relationship with you even as you put your life in defense of the society. If you are a cook, God wants relationship with you even as you spend most of your life in the kitchen. And if you are a student, God wants relationship with you even as you do your studies. Young people oftentimes think that, you know, they have time. You know, serving God is something that is left for old folks. I indicated to my parents that I would like to be a priest when I was in fourth grade. Fourth grade. I wasn't in college yet. Relationship with God is not something that we should seek for at the sunset of our lives. Part of my ministry, I work in St. Mary, but I also do some hospital chaplaincy at PIH. And so every morning from Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm in PIH. I visit people with terminal illness, people who just have surgeries, all kinds of sick people. And I have seen the experience of those of them who have God in their lives, and they all of a sudden, the doctor broke a bad news that you have stage 4 cancer, and you don't have much time left. I remember holding this man, and the man said, "Father, that's okay. I'm in God's hands." And he actually said to me, "Even if I die, I believe that I am going to wake up on the other side with the assurance that God is waiting for me to accept me. I'm going to wake up on the other side into the waiting hands of God." But I have also seen people who go through life as if God doesn't matter. God is something. God is a Coke machine. You know what a Coke machine is? That's when we remember a Coke machine when we are thirsty. When we need drink, we need Coke, we go to the Coke machine, we put our money, and it draws for us. God is a Coke machine that we remember when we need him. And for such people, every sickness is a crisis. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to wait until then. From today, we can turn the page and realize that today, Jesus established a new relationship between us and God, between us and our neighbors, between us and our friends, between people and people, and begin to live that relationship today, moving forward. Not something we remember when we think we need it. This is the central message of Easter, that victory has been given to you and I, and we have it right there in our hands. And ultimately, you and I are the ones who will determine our destiny. Nobody can determine our destiny. Not your father, not your mother, not the Pope, not the Bishop, not the priest, not me, not your friend, not anyone, not your boss. You are the one that will determine your destiny. And our destiny is determined by the life we are living right now in relationship with God. Because without God, without Jesus, without the Lord, life is crisis. And so I leave you with this final word. At the end of this mass, as we go home, if you are not able to track everything I have said, remember this one word: relationship. That is the only thing that God is expecting from you and I. Relationship. Amen.